episode 240 of PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM with this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. It's like every week now. We can get some releases or some betas, but it's like, other than that, it's still just dead in the news. So, yeah, it's like.
Which is weird considering how long it's been dead between holidays and E3, I guess.
Yeah, we're in February, so you'd think, like, you know, there'd be a little bit more game news, but I guess we just have all the game releases to talk about, and everybody's kind of hoping they can hold off until E3. But, you know, then, of course, stuff will just be leaked beforehand. But, yeah, it's kind of weird, because I'm usually used to some people, like, making their announcements, and then they announce it now to get the mindshare, and then they'll talk about the game in more detail, like release the trailer, and then they'll show gameplay at E3.
Yeah.
Or if not gameplay, maybe another trailer or just more information. Like, typically it's like, here's this game, be excited about it, it'll be on the show floor. And you figure you kind of want to get a jump start in that since E3 is going to be open to the public. You'd be like, oh, hey, guys, you going to E3? It's like, look, we're going to have this game on the show floor. Here's a trailer. But I guess maybe they'll wait until it gets a little bit closer. Not now. I mean, I guess traditionally the only stuff you'd get now would be leaks. Like that, the Horizon map that leaked out, which I didn't look at because I was like, it's a map. I don't care what it looks like. It's like, why
you? I know, everybody made a huge deal. They're like, oh, the map is out. It's like, great. Yeah. Now you know what it looks like before you play the game, so now you're just going to have to re-look at it.
Yeah, it's like I would have, when I opened up the menu, the map in the game, I would have just zoomed out to see how big it was at the first thing. It's like once in the game, it's not like it's a big old, I don't know, like, oh, this is newsworthy. But I don't know why anybody would leak it in the first place, but whatever.
That's the only thing they could get their hands on. They wanted to leak something.
Yeah. Whatever. all right. Well, let's see. The only bit of news there was there's a report that apparently Call of Duty is supposed to be going back to its roots, according to Activision. Let's see if they have a more. Let's see. During their fourth quarter earnings call, Activision elaborated that, quote, traditional combat will once again take center stage, end quote. So it seems that, and I believe it's Sledgehammer that's handling this year's Call of Duty, right? Because Infinite Warfare was Infinity Ward, I believe. So I'll be interested to see what, because if it is Sledgehammer, you figure they have the three development studios, you know, with Treyarch, Infinity Ward, and Sledgehammer, which gives each of them, instead of a 2-year cycle, a 3-year cycle. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, that means that if they do go back to a non-future setting or even a past setting, that means Sledgehammer had already been doing that from the start. I mean, maybe they could have obviously just worked on refining the engine, maybe come up with a story, and then realizing, hey, let's kind of go back, once they saw some reception in the last couple games, and be like, they could just tweak the story to fit the narrative of a different time. But yeah, with that 3-year development cycle, it's like, yeah, you figure they've already been at least a good ways with it since it's going to come out this year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait till E3 to find out what happens there. I guess it'd be, maybe I'd be interested if it wasn't future stuff and it got a little more present day stuff. I don't know, we'll see. It depends. I still want to give Infinite Warfare a try, but because I know some people say it's actually really good, and some people are like, eh, nah, you know. But I know one of the guys who worked at Naughty Dog back in the day worked on the story for it, so interested in that just to see how it goes. Plus, like I said, they got the voice actor who does BJ Blazkowicz as the main character, so I gotta.
Oh yeah.
I gotta do that. I figured I'm blanking his name right now, but. Besides from that, the only other big news that wasn't necessarily, it was more focused on a game that just released, but Neo came out this week, and there was co-op in the game back during the demo phases, but they took out.
Which was a really good co-op, by the way.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, and they took it out. It said, they're saying, this is from article from IGN, and this is the developer saying, quote, you cannot co-op through the entire game because that would make it too easy for players to beat the game. This is the creative director, Tom Lee, is talking to Kotaku. We want players to experience Neo in how it was intended to be. We allow players to call up any time in the last trial demo only because of the limited stages and time to try out the demo. Let's see, quote, while it is fun and easy to summon friends into multiplayer to help you through difficult sessions, co-op can make even the toughest boss a little too easy. And I believe what they said was that you can co-op after you've beaten the game. It's beaten level. So it's in the release version of the game, a co-op partner has to have previously beaten the level they're being summoned into, meaning two players can't start the game at the same time, co-op through the entire experience, which I feel like was something that, because wasn't that, like, in Bloodborne, it was kind of reversed. It was like, you couldn't summon someone into your level unless you haven't done that particular boss. Like, if I go to the Forbidden Forest, it's like, I can't have done that. Like, if I already finished it, then that gives me a straight gateway to Bergenworth, which, of course, you don't want to bring someone in who hasn't beaten the boss, because then the boss won't trigger. So it's like, that makes sense, because the bosses are the gateways for that level. But it's weird that they would do kind of the reverse bit of it. Like, oh, you have to have beaten that particular level. So it's more like the good player will help someone who's having trouble. Like, oh, you're having trouble with this boss? Okay, we'll give you a hand. It's kind of like a lot how in Dark Souls, when people finish a boss, they'll stay back and help people fight a particular boss and put down summoning signs. But it is just weird that you can't just go through from the start. I mean, granted, it's not something I would have done, especially if you didn't scale your creature. Like in Bloodborne, at least they scale. Everything scales, mm-hmm. but yeah.
They like severely gimp you.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't just go, oh, we'll increase his defense rating by one and, you know, increase the health bar or something like that, you know, just somehow balance it. Cause it's like, I'll just make the fight have to be extended. Cause that's how Bloodborne is. You do less damage and they have more defense and more health. So it's like the fights take a little longer. There's more room for screw up. But yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe they can always patch it in the future. Just the immediate fix was, you know, just patch it out in the way they did. That way they can retool it down the line and be like, okay, we got to figure out what's the best way to do it for co-op. Because you forget something you got to test internally. You don't want to just by default increase defensive values and HP values across the board, because it could be like, oh, well, it turns out it actually makes this one boss way more difficult or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that is.
I really liked playing Neo on co-op, so that was disappointing and probably the only way I would have played that game. So
just have to make Michael play all the way through it on one account and then go back and play it with you again on your playthrough.
Yeah, right. He won't even play Bloodborne.
Yeah, the downside.
Neo was cool in co-op because you could have two characters that were totally different builds. I was like, I built my character to play like Bloodborne. I was really fast and agile and quick, but I ripped through my stamina like crazy just because I was moving around so much.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was like a tank build, basically. He had this like gigantic axe thing and all this heavy armor. So it's like I could like round up two or three guys and do a little bit of damage on them, run back and pull them to him, and he would just like swing his axe around and kill them all in one shot. And it's like, that shit was so fun, and I was actually excited for the game. And then they were like, oh yeah, we broke that. You can't do that no more. Fuck.
Yeah, at least it's by level. And that game has levels. So like I said, if you do have someone who at least, if you just wait a bit, you'd be like, oh, you know, they're a little further. But then they gotta kind of like know that they'll have to go back. But who knows? It is a little odd. But at least some version of it is in there. Yeah, a little disappointed. I mean, like, usually in those games, I don't like to go through levels co-op. I like to experience everything on my own for the max challenge. That's just the way I like to play the game. Plus, another reason usually co-op games I don't like playing co-op sometimes is that traditionally it's like the person I'll be playing with will be my cousin, and we'll play at the same time for a little bit, and then eventually, like, one day I might not be able to play, and then he'll just play a bunch. So then when we come back to it, it's like he's already experienced it, so that kind of diminishes the overall experience for me, because he knows what's coming. He knows immediately where to go to get an objective. That happened a lot in Borderlands, where it was like, we play Borderlands together, and he just like gets super far in the story and come back. And then you got level disparities. But luckily, if he joins my game, then it doesn't affect too much.
Yeah.
But But then he's, like, just taking everything out pretty quick, and then I'm still taking the regular amount of time. But then, like, he just beelines it to wherever the objective is, and I'm like, dude, I want to explore, man. I don't know what's in this area. I want to find, you know, loot crates and all that stuff, but...
Oh, yeah. If you're going to, like, co-op with somebody that hasn't played it yet and you've already played it, at least let them, like, wander into that corner that doesn't have anything. But, you know, just hang back and let them wander into it.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, yeah, we'll see. I haven't picked it up yet. I was probably going to pick it up yesterday, but I was busy yesterday. And then I'm not sure when I'll get to it, because I think I need to pull up that list of 2017 releases. Video games 2017 release dates. Because I know there's like a short window for stuff. Game Rant. When was this article written? 1 month ago? No. I need the one that was... VG247, I think this is the one I want. Yeah, so we're in February. Okay, yeah, so it's Neo now. Then Sniper Elite 4 is on Tuesday, which I'm looking forward to. So it's like I won't be able to beat Neo before then. Mm-hmm. And then Horizon Zero Dawn is on the 28th, so I guess. And then the Deus Ex Mankind Divided DLC comes out on the 23rd. So it's like, okay, I got February 14th to pick up Sniper Elite. That game will probably take me a while because I like to go through just trying to be as perfect as possible. So I have 2 weeks. And then I also have the DLC, which comes out on the 23rd, which is a Thursday for Deus Ex. So I can play that over the weekend. And then I'll have Horizon on the 28th. But it's just like I don't know how long it'll take me to get through Neo. I want to play it, and I'll probably pick it up at some point. I just... Right now, I'm trying to make sure I don't overdo it mm-hmm. with all my games. Like, I'm not playing anything currently because I finished the Dark Souls 3 DLC finally, and I was like, okay, do I want to start something new? And I do have DLC for Resident Evil that I still have to finish. I haven't played the little bit that they have, so I need to do that to hold me over till Tuesday. But, yeah, stuff. I don't want to get in that situation where I have too much piled up. And I figure if I wait for Sniper Elite, I can at least beat that before Horizon. But, yeah, and then in March. Well, another thing, too, is they're going to have another phase of... So they had the closed beta for Wildlands just past this last weekend. And then they're going to have another open beta phase. Sometime probably at the beginning of March, considering... It's got to be pretty soon, considering the game does come out on the 7th of March. So that'll be that, which would be nice because then I'll be able to probably hopefully get my cousin to download it and another buddy who usually I'll play Siege together, get them down so I can play co-op, because I didn't play co-op during the beta, which I wanted to because that's the primary reason I'm interested in the game is the co-op aspect of it. And the closed beta was fine. I found that the controls felt a little stiff, but I just cranked up the aiming sensitivity on all like the weapons and in the drone just super high, like in the 90s. And that seemed to fix it. Yeah, it was weird. It's like the game had a super low, like traditionally most games I'll play at a low sensitivity, like anywhere from 30 to 45. Like usually it's because there are first person shooters that have the widest degree of sensitivity. And for some reason this, it felt like, man, I feel like I'm not turning that quickly. So then I upped it a bunch, and it helped out a lot. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. The map's fucking huge. Even the little bit you play. But yeah, I'm definitely, and there's a lot of stuff to do in that game. A lot of side stuff you can go do. And I kind of like that because it's always, they do that thing in this game where a lot of other games do, where it's like you need, not a lot of other games, but some other games do that I like a lot, where you can find these, it's essentially you're finding skill points on the map. It's like you pick up these accommodation medals from the military that's in that region, and they give you a skill point to use. You can also get skill points from leveling up, of course. But you also require resources to actually unlock skills. So the different resources are things like, I think it's electronics, fuel, possibly some form of like a weapon part or something like that. But it's these little side missions you can do, and it's like, oh, if you do this, you collect 1,400 fuel for the rebels, and that adds to your fuel count for unlocking skills that require it. And I kind of like that game where it's not just like, oh, not only do I get skills, like I can just straight up go do this path. I need to gather the resources to do it. It reminds me a bit of like Metal Gear Solid 5 and Peace Walker, where you have to collect the resources in order to research things. Like, oh, you want to do this? Well, you need a bunch mm-hmm. of this material. And so you have to go out in the game and play and get it. So I kind of like that. It adds a little extra, like, actually, it's incentivizes you to go do the side stuff. And the side stuff's pretty fun. Like, I like any of the resource gathering missions, because it's always like, oh, you have to go steal, like, a helicopter that has medical supplies or a truck that has a bunch of fuel. And usually trucks are always escorted by people, so you don't want to blow up the truck, but you want to destroy the escort vehicles and make sure they don't call for backup. And then usually helicopter ones are the easiest, because, like, it's just a helicopter guarded by a couple guys. But then if you're not careful, like, that was a problem I had in a lot of my side ops, where it's like, oh, I have to hijack this plane with some fuel on it and go take it to the rebel base. And then I get there, and it's, like, only four guys. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I don't have my sync shot upgraded all the way for the AI, so I can only sync up at that point, I think, one person. The default level, because I didn't put any skill points into it. And it's like, I get in a fight, I'm like, okay, that's fine. But then one of the enemies throws a grenade, and the grenade's just a little too close than the blast radius of the the plane, so it blows the plane up, so the mission's a failure. And I'm like, god damn it. And of course, the game will, I don't think you can, at least it didn't seem that way, where if you fail it, it just goes away for a while. It's not like if I blow up all the planes and trucks and lose all the missions that they just go away forever and I can't get those resources. It'll come back, it just takes a while. Like, if you quit, like, if you die and the game reloads, it reloads that side mission. If you quit the session and then go back later, it reloads the side mission. But I don't know how long it takes to reload if I were to just, like, leave the area and go do something else. Like, I'm assuming if I fast traveled, that triggers a load, which would reset it. But if I'm just, like, driving around the open world, like, I don't know how long it would take for it to switch over. I'm assuming like a cutscene would trigger it, or anything that causes any sort of load or pulls out from the actual game would trigger a reload phase, which is nice, because then if you fail, it's like, oh well, go do something else, come back to it. But yeah, it's really fun. Definitely a game I feel like it'll be way better co-op. It is a lot like the open world Metal Gear too, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm hoping, like I said, it felt a little stiff, and I'm hoping they adjust that up and increase the range of the sensitivity. That way, go up even higher, or I can just keep it down lower, but have it at the level I did in the beta. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the open. I'm curious how the final build will be. And then of course it's just the base mode I was playing. It wasn't the PS4 Pro version. And then I don't think boost mode necessarily helped with it. I didn't do any tests, but we'll see. I am interested in this game, but that game I'm waiting on review. And then I'm also waiting to see if people I know are going to get it on day one. And if not, then I'll probably get it myself, but just take my time doing solo stuff. But yeah, and then speaking of boost mode, we talked about last week about how we were hoping that Digital Foundry was in the beta and that they would do a nice comparison. I was thinking more of the hard drives, but they haven't done that yet. But they did release a video of doing a bunch of tests on a bunch of launch games and other games. So a lot of games they tested were things like all the games that people talked about. They wanted to test games that were GPU dependent and games that were CPU dependent. So they went back and forth from like Killzone to Knack, because each of them would change like what they relied heavily on. Because basically all the boost mode does is increase the clock rate of how fast you're doing stuff. It doesn't necessarily give you the max pro benefit, because you have to patch in that kind of thing. It just goes, oh, here, we can process things faster. I think it gives it a boost of like a 19%, I think it was. They basically figured it out doing the math just based on frames. But yeah, games like, it was across the board for most of the games, it was like, yeah, you get an increase in games that are unlocked frame rates. You get an increase in frames, the available frames. Games that were locked at 30 now basically were just steady 30 all the way through and didn't have frame rate dips. So Knack had better frame rates. Battlefield 4 ran better frame rate rise in multiplayer. It didn't stay locked at 60, but it was stayed much higher in the 50s, mid 50 range, and didn't really dip down that much. Where I guess it dipped down to like in the mid 40s and beforehand. It's funny because I played a lot of Battlefield 4. Well, I guess not a ton, but I played a good amount of Battlefield 4, and I never felt like it dipped too much, but maybe I just didn't notice it. I don't know. And then they tried Mirror's Edge, and Mirror's Edge didn't get... It got an okay boost. It had more texture loading, was better on Mirror's Edge. So it was on a Battlefield 4. Like, when he booted up the server, the same server on the base mode, the textures for the road and some of the rocks would load in, take a while to load in, whereas on the boost version, they'd load in pretty quick. Right when he got in, they basically load in there. Some other games they tested were Mighty No. 9 to see if that have any benefit. Not really anything there. Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which was the reboot that came out on PS3 and Xbox, that got brought over to PS4 and Xbox One. That got a nice boost because that was a uncapped frame rate on that version, and it allows it to hit a much higher frame rate on the boost mode than it did on the base. Trying to think what else they tried. They did Killzone, like I said, they did that. It had a much more steady, also in multiplayer, it had a much more steady 60 FPS frame rate. They did Assassin's Creed Unity, which we had talked about. People saying it ran better, and that game ran better, of course. And then they did, what else did they do? They did, I'm trying to remember, there were some of the other games. There was one game, Project Cars, which I guess that game, if you ran like the weather settings, and I guess there's different options you could do for effects, and if you put them all the way up to high, that made that game pretty chug a lot, I guess, on the base version. And then when you run it on the pro version, there's a lot less frame rate issues, of course. I think there was a couple games that didn't benefit. I forget what they were. It was like a Enter the Gungeon, I think it was. I don't know. There's some indie game where like that didn't benefit at all. So if a game isn't coded well, it still won't see any benefit. That's what they were getting at. But yeah, it was a pretty nice look at seeing a lot of stuff. I did see a video of the Just Cause 3. Now Just Cause 3 runs basically at a locked 30 FPS, which is really nice because that's a game I wanted to get a pro patch, but it's not going to get one. But now that I know I can play it on boost mode and have it not have frame rate issues, I might pick it up when it's on sale, because that game's always on sale. But I'll just have to wait until the 4.5 firmware actually releases, because I don't want to buy it and be like, oh, well, now the beta goes away, I'm not in it anymore, so now the game runs like crap. So that's nice that runs better. So yeah, it's good to see that people that have, if they get it, any of the other games that aren't pro-patched, granted, it's going to be the older games, because every future game should be pro-patched. Because that was, I believe, part of the stipulation. So, but yeah, if you ever revisit something old, that'll be nice. I think Until Dawn also hits their frame rate much better. Well, I think it was uncapped Until Dawn, so now it hits it much higher than originally it would. But yeah, good to see. It's a nice little video. Like I said, I'm hoping they do one for hard drives, but of course they have to buy all the hard drives. They did release more information on the external hard drive for the beta, saying that you can plug the hard drive into any console that has your profile loaded on it, which I thought was really good. So that's nice. You can't have applications installed on both your internal and the external at the same time, which makes sense. But you can transfer them between the two. You can't capture gameplay footage and screenshots and have it saved to the external. It has to save to the internal still. But I'd imagine you can just easily transfer, because you can, you know, move captured video footage to a USB drive. You can just put it over to the external and just store it on there. Which would be nice if they've already increased the amount of time you can capture, and they've upped the quality a bit and the resolution. It'd be nice if they can up the quality even more, because if I could get a much higher bit rate, that would be fantastic. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy like 13,000, but just like much higher, because it's still like, that's the brown side is I capture on my Elgato, just because it's a much better quality. But I was looking at a 4K TV of the day, and I start thinking, I was like, oh well, I guess if I have a 4K signal, my Elgato won't capture it. And yeah, currently the Elgato capture devices can't take the 4K signal. So it's like, if I wanted to capture anything, I would have to do it on the PS4 and then export it and put it on my computer and edit it there, or just play a game in 1080p when I wanted to capture. But I'm hoping, because I started looking to see if Elgato is working on a 4K device, and there was a tweet back from Jack Frags back in October of 2016 saying, you know, with the Pro and Xbox One S, he goes, I wonder if anyone's going to make a 4K capture device. And then Elgato replied back with like the two emoji eyes that are just like looking kind of down and to the left or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm like, okay, so I guess you guys are going to be working on one. But that was back in October. So I don't
doubt. Yeah.
But I'm thinking it would be something more along the lines of, I feel like it would be easier. I don't know. Well, I'm not a tech person, so I have no idea. But I'm wondering if it would be easier if they could just allow the 4K signal to pass through, but only capture 1080, like if that would be possible. Kind of like how the split box for the PSVR doesn't output 1080p a signal to the TV, because you have the high resolution signal going to your headset, and it's just unwrapping that signal and putting at a lower resolution on the television so people can watch. So I wonder if it would do something like that. Because like if you look at the PS4, I mean, the PS4 can output in 4K, but when you're playing a game in 4K and you capture, you're still only capture 1080p video. So it's doing it on the console side. So I'm wondering if they could just do that on the capture side as well. They just, again, have to be able to pass through, receive a 4K, the proper HDMI cable that can take that 4K signal through and then to the TV. And hopefully not add any extra latency when you do that. But you'll see. And then, of course, I wonder if they'd patch any sort of HDR capture thing, but not that even many monitors can have it, so I guess capturing HDR might not necessarily be beneficial, just the resolution, or at least the signal anyways. I don't want to necessarily want to capture 4K signal. I just want to be able to capture footage in general.
I'm sure they're working on like an option for both. So if people want to record 4K and if people just want to record at a lower resolution, but they want to play at 4K.
Well, because I'm wondering, because you figure if you look at the way they did it with the streaming currently for consoles, especially, and other devices, is they started out, you know, you go up from 720, then they go to 1080, but it's 1080-30. And then they just, with their Elgato HD60, that allowed you to record 1080p 60 frames a second. So if they do a 4K specific one, like a Elgato HD 4K, it'll be like 4K 30 frames, and then down the line when games, I guess when there's more 4K games that could go at 60 FPS, because obviously there are now, but they're like more indie titles and lower, not as visually demanding titles, then they'll release the 4K 60 or something. But maybe have that option in it where like, oh, you can do 4K 30 or you can do 1080p 60 still. Like, you just change it within, like, you can change it setting now within the Elgato program anyways. I'd be like, do I want to capture, do I want to record this at 1080p, or do I want to do this, do I, you know, what bit rate do I want to do at it, because you can always change all those things. So I'd imagine it would just be an extra option. But yeah, hopefully that'd be nice if it comes out soon, because that's like, that's the one thing about the 4K TV I'm looking at. I was like, I can't capture anymore. It's like, I have to play it in 1080p, which wouldn't be a big problem as long as 1080p looked good on the TV, because that's my concern, is that like, I have my iMac is the 5K one. So if I play a lower resolution video at full screen versus a higher resolution video, it's like, yeah, it's not going to look as great. Granted, they obviously, games that are pro patch will be super sampled down. So I'm wondering if that would necessarily help that resolution on the TV. But it reminds me just like when you HDTVs first come out, and like watching a TV 480p signal on an HDTV, it just looks like, man, this looks like garbage. So my concern is that for some reason, like, oh, well, maybe it won't be look as nice. I mean, I don't imagine why it wouldn't, but it just, I haven't seen it in person. So, and I went down to Magnolia in Best Buy the other day, because I was wondering if, I asked the Best Buy rep, I was like, I'm interested in No, the 4K TVs, and this one in particular, but the input lag is at a certain level, and I want to, I've seen videos, but I want to feel it. Can I bring in my PS4, just plug it in, and play it? And while Best Buy doesn't, Magnolia does. So I went to Magnolia and asked them, you know, hey, can I do this? And they said, yeah, just, you know, bring it in. We have the HDMI cables, just bring your cord and blah, blah, blah. And I can do that. My concern is that I have multiple concerns, but they're all firmware related. So I asked them, I was like, are your TVs on their current patches? Are they patched up to date? Because back in, I mean, I guess it depends on when they got their display TVs, but back in November, I think, is when LG released a patch that lowered the input lag on their OLED 4K TVs when in game mode, because originally the latency was too high, even in game mode. But then they patched it to get it down to about in the mid-20s. I think it's like 26, 28, something like that, to a much more playable level. Mm-hmm. But if their TVs aren't patched, then if I'm testing it, then it's not going to really do me any good. It's like, okay, well, yeah, if this is unpatched and it's a 30 or 40 latency on it, it's like, okay, well, I don't know what that's going to mean for when it's 28. I want to know what the actual patch version is like. And then my concern also is the TV patched up enough to recognize the PS4 Pro? Because I know some HDVs are like, oh, you have to plug it, you know, is your TV patched up to date to handle that particular, I think it was the HDCP that was the problem, where it was like, some were at the one point, it was like one point, I'm going to call it 1.3, it could be higher, but they weren't up to the 2.2 HDCP standard. Which could just be patched in. So people had a lot of problems when the Pro came out, like, well, I can't get any signal, or I'm having problems. They're like, oh, you have to go in there, and then there's also, like, sub-menu things you have to turn on. Like, it's one specific HDMI port you can plug into, but you have to turn on a particular thing. So I have to research that and find out, okay, if I plug into an OLED, you know, this version, blah, 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 on this firmware, will I be able to? Because I don't want to go down and be like, A, not only do they not have the latency update, but they also can't even play it. Like, there's no signal going through. So I got to make sure I know all the stuff I need to know. That way, if there's a problem, I know it's on their end. Another thing I need to do is also look up my current TV I'm using and figure out what the input lag is on my TV. Now, obviously, 1080p TVs don't have it nearly as much. But I still can see, like, oh, if my TV, there is still one, because that's why Guitar Hero and music rhythm games, what's that one? Crypt of the Necro Dancer have amplitude. They all have those check your input lag kind of things, like, oh, strum along with the beat or do this, so they can tell you. And I've seen it say on Crypt of the Necro Dancer, like, oh, you're this many milliseconds behind, so we're going to adjust the game to fit you appropriately. But yeah, I need to look at the model to see what it is, because if I look at my TV and realize, oh, I'm already playing it, you know, at 20 or 21, so a 26 or 28 isn't necessarily going to be that bad.
Because
that's the biggest problem with OLED and LG, because I was like, damn, those nice TVs. But at the beginning I was like, oh, I'll just get one of those KS8000s from Samsung, because those are like the best mid-range you can do. It's at the lowest input latency and decent scores across the board. It's not the best, but it works. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Because it was on sale during Black Friday. And I was like, oh, I can get it. You know, it was like $700 or something. But I was like, no, I want to wait. But because I want to see who else would patch their stuff.
Yeah, and if you're going to do an upgrade like that, that's going to last a while, you might as well just go big in the beginning.
Yeah.
And make it last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I want to test it and feel it first. Because if it doesn't feel good, it's like, because the video can only show me so much. It's like,
yeah,
I can't really tell. Like, yeah, I see it looks like it. There's a little bit of a delay. But I don't know. It's just a, you know, handheld cell phone shot, so I want to feel it. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know when I'm going to do that. If I do that, it was probably going to be next weekend, because my cousin will be in town. He wanted to check it out as well, but I'll have to do some research. But yeah. Other than that, I think that's basically it for the news. There was an interview with Kojima. There's a funny thing. People asked him why he wouldn't make a horror game, and basically his answer was, it'd be too scary. to develop it. He's like, because I'd be just making a game about all the stuff that scares me, because I know it scares me, so I wouldn't want to be there making it the whole time, because then I'd just be freaked out. He's like, I don't want to do that. He's like, it would make sense. Like, yeah, makes sense. Not everybody can just would want to, hey, let's beta test your scary game. Like, oh, we got to, okay, everybody play through chapter, you know, you do levels 1 through 6, and I'll do 7 through 10. It's like, yeah, but this game's scary, man. You get desensitized to your own game because you've just been playing it way too much. But
yeah, and then he would be like, what? This isn't scary anymore. What happened? Start over.
Yeah. up the scare factor. Bring someone in.
But, yeah.
We got to work with the top psychologist.
Make something scarier, Del Toro.
Yeah, there you go. Put Konami logos everywhere. No. This shit's scary. But
it would. It's just like some weird, big, shapeless monster, and it's just got Konami on around the side of it.
Right. You're just trapped in a giant pachinko machine. No. But, yeah, that's like I said, basically it. Haven't played Neo, so I can't talk about that. And there's not really much else. I know the Rainbow Six Siege operators got dropped this week for the people who have the season pass, and then will come out next week available for everyone who to buy it with their renown. So I have been playing that. And the new operators seem like they're pretty good. I like Mira. She does this thing where she puts up basically a window into a wall, and it has a one-way piece of glass in it, and you can shoot out this little oxygen canister that will pop the glass out, so then you can shoot through it if there's people come down like a hallway and you have it up there. It's a really nice way to see where enemies, to give you a better vantage point. It's a nice little, she gets two of them. That's really cool. And right now it's all about learning the meta on where to place them on a particular map. Like, okay, if you're on this map in this spawns or the objectives in this area, it's you get the best advantage if you put it here. So now people are kind of learning that. And then the downside is that anybody can shoot the canisters to pop out the glass. So it's like, I was in a map where basically like there was, I told my cousin to put one up on one side. And I was like, oh, this is great because it covers a drop hole and a hallway and a staircase. And I could see them all coming from that direction. And I put a barricade up on the one side. So they're kind of trapped down there. And I was like, oh, this is great. But then he put one up that was kind of perpendicular to where I was. And then the guy who was looking at that one ended up shooting out the, popping out the glass, and I'm like, great, now I have like this window where anybody can, the enemy can directly see me through, and I have to watch out. Meanwhile, I'm trying to watch through this window to see if anyone's coming, and also listen for the other side of the room if they break through a window. It's like a little paranoid, but yeah, it's really nice. I haven't seen too many people use the male operator who basically can see footprints, and then if there's like, he sees the heat signature, so if they're yellow, that means they're old, and if they're red, that means they're recent, so you can follow them. He can also scan the footprints. He gets 3 scans, and they basically show you the position of where the enemy is. But it's like a ping position, kind of like the cameras work in that game, where you can ping someone, and it puts down a marker. And then but when he does it, instead it's like you're getting that ping every, I want to say 30 seconds. So like it pings really where you can go down there, and then after 30 seconds it'll ping again where they are. And you get 3 uses of those. And it seems like it could be pretty good. I haven't watched anybody, because unfortunately it's like the upside with Mira is because she's a defender, I can see her gadget in the works right from the start of the round. Whereas for the other guy as the attacker, I can only see how he plays out if I die and then I watch that character. Because otherwise I won't be able to see their vision and see how people use him and everything. It's like, well, I'm alive the whole time or you died or whatever. But they seem pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to, I'd probably pick up Mira because I like defender operators more than offensive, and she seems like she would be a really great one, even though usually I play like 2 operators I like to play, or actually 1 I like to play defensively more than anyone else, but she could be like my backup. And then offensively I already have 2 people I pick between, or essentially breaching operators. One of them is one of the DLC ones from last time, so I don't know if I'll pick up that guy or not, but yeah, they seem to be going pretty well. I'd be curious to see how the meta pans out for those. And the only other bit of news I know that might be going on soon is Battlefield had recently introduced a CTE, a community test environment, on the PC, and they're going to be bringing that over to console at some point as well. And that's, for people who don't know what a community test environment is, it's basically they have servers that are dedicated to upcoming patches, and you can play specifically on those servers, and that server will have the proposed patches that they'll be releasing on that server. So weapon balances, vehicle balances, stuff like that, and people can play them and find out, like, hey, how does this feel with this, you know, across the board, we increase the reload time on shotguns from, you know, 0.26 to 0.3, or we increase damage or this. Like, people play it on there and they give community feedback. It's really nice. StarCraft's really good about that too. They do, like, oh, we have a proposed patch coming up here. Play it on the patch server, test out, see it in the wild, you know, and people give their feedback. And because of that, they sometimes will drop stuff and go, okay, we realize that this proposed change is a little over, you know, a little imbalanced. And overpowered, will adjust it and tweak it, or they just drop stuff entirely based on community feedback. So it's nice that they're doing that. And so I know there's, because the winter update for Battlefield is going to be coming out next week. They're going to be talking about it. I think they're just going to give details. I don't know if it's going to coincide with the release of They Shall Not Pass, which just comes out in March, which is the next bit of DLC, the expansion that comes out, the French army, and new maps and new vehicles. Yeah, a couple new vehicles, I think maybe new weapons, and new behemoth as well. That comes out in March, and I think it'll probably come out before then, although I could see them totally just being like, you know, oh, wait. Because I knew a lot of times with Battlefield, they usually like to coincide any weapon balances with an update beforehand, unless they rather get this out early and then have smaller tweaks come out during that patch. Like, oh, we're, you know, go back in any changes, because that can happen too, but... outside of that, I think that's it. Not much else. Curious how much longer the 4.5 beta is going to keep going. Hasn't gone away yet. Still there.
But... yeah, because I want to use it. Give me. Mm-hmm. Take out a beta I want to use.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that hard drive aspect. Just mainly so I can be like, oh, if game's not playing, I'd just be like, oh, install this game, just move it over there. Be like, okay, I'll just keep these games there. You know, I'm done with this one. Move it over to that one. That way, if I ever want to go back to it, like, oh, you know, I kind of want to go platinum the game, I can just go play it off that and not have to re-download it.
I just want to plug my external hard drive into my PS4, take all of my videos and screenshots, put them on the hard drive, and then plug the hard drive in my computer. That's all I want to do. I don't want to have to, like, find which of my sticks has enough space to put the stuff that I want on and then transfer it to my computer. I just want to keep it on my hard drive and plug it into whatever fucking computer I'm using at the time.
Does the patch allow for recognizing of externals to be able to transfer over captured footage, like you're saying? Or is it just...
it should.
Because when I was reading the patch note, they were saying, like, when you plug it in and you format it, it's formatted strictly to the PS4. So, like, you couldn't... because obviously you're putting games on it, you can't plug, once you put games on there, you can't plug it into like a PC and see the partition available. It partitions it just for the PS4 and formats it that way. I didn't know if they actually had it to where, like, oh, now you can plug in a, you know, a little external drive to transfer files over instead of being USB. I mean, maybe. I thought they did that a while back, but I could be wrong.
But I mean, if you plug a like a PS4 hard drive into like a hard drive dock and then plug that into a computer, you would still be able to get into it. You just wouldn't be able to like do anything or read or anything like that. You'd be able to see the files. But
yeah, I'm wondering if they would be
still, they were saying that you can transfer them, you could use them to put, you know, stuff on still.
Okay, so you can use it as a data transfer device, or also as just to keep your game applications on it.
Yeah, from what I read, you would still be able to put screenshots and stuff on it. You just, like you said earlier, you can't save directly to it.
Right,
you
right.
You have to manually move it over.
I just didn't know if you'd be able to see those folders. Like if I, you know, once I put game applications on it, and, you know, fill it up with some games and captured footage and screenshots, and then if I plug that into the PC, will I see each of the folders? Like on PS3, it was the folders like, oh, here's a movie folder, a video folder, or a movies, music, pictures. Like I could see those individual folders. Like I don't know if you'll be able to navigate through them. Like if it'll recognize it as a readable format.
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, because when you plug the hard drive in through USB on a computer, it'll bring it up. It probably won't be as like neatly organized, like, right. You might have to dig for them kind of thing, which fuck it, I'm fine with. But I mean, it's the same thing with like an iPhone. If you plug the iPhone in, they don't want you to screw with it. You have to go through iTunes and tell iTunes to look at this folder or whatever. But if you go into the Explorer and open the phone, you can get into the files on the phone.
All right, yeah, I guess that would work then. Yeah, I was wondering because the way it read about how it was formatted, it made it sound like, you know, like on Macs, like, yeah, it's like, oh, you can't be, what are the different format types? Like, I keep wanting to say NTSB, but that doesn't sound like it's right. And then FAT32 and, like, the different format types. And it sounded, the way I read it, it, to me, made it read as an additional type that couldn't be readable. It could be visible, just not readable. So, like, if I was to try to transfer files over, it might not work. But, like I said, you're probably totally right, and I could just be...
I imagine what they mean by formatting is they want you to use either a fresh or dedicated hard drive so that it can just wipe the hard drive clean completely and then install whatever directories and firmware or whatever it needs to be able to work on the PlayStation.
Right, like it does when you do an internal. I just wasn't sure if it was some kind of extra step because it was a removable one. Not that the internal's not removable easily enough, but yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably definitely right, but... Yeah, it'll be interesting. I just want to see like a speed test done so I can figure out like,
yeah, you know,
buy super fast. Yeah, now I see like freaking advertisers like external hard drives. Like, here's an 8 gigabyte external hard drive. Get it. And I'm like, and then no one posted a read write speeds on these things. And I look at it, I'm like, yeah, well, if I got an external, I'd want to get one that was super fast, and see if I can drop those load times. But, but yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when it finally goes live. And I'm curious what kind of problems people have run into on the application side. I think there was another game that people said they had problems with outside of Soma. I wish I could remember what it was. It was... Man, I just read it the other day, too. It was like, it was a game... I know it wasn't Soma, but it was another game that they had problems with. Where... Oh, God. I wish I could remember what it was. It would just have a lot of crashes. I can't remember. I don't think it was a AAA title. I think it was more of an indie title. I just don't remember. But yeah, hopefully... I think it was Firewatch? Maybe? I don't know. But yeah, I read about something else. I remember Soma was the first one people said it had problems. But yeah, this other one, like people said, yeah, it just has application errors a lot when boost mode's on. But obviously you can just turn it off.
Yeah,
it's not like you're stuck with it on. But I figured I'd just leave it on because there's no point in turning it off. It's like, hey, I might as well just leave it on. It's not going to ruin anything. It's not like it's going to fuck up any of the ones that are actually are pro patch. It's like, oh, it's pro patch. Any boost on? Oh, now I have a conflict of interest here. But yeah. All right. Well, I guess I could wrap it up because there's not much else. And I don't really have any games I could talk about. Unless you got some you've been playing recently.
Nope. Right. Final Fantasy 14 in The Sims.
Okay, let's see here. We need secret. So last time the secret word was stress ball. We need a new secret word for this week.
That's funny because I just picked up my ADS and started playing with it.
Let's go. Well, let's go with boost since we're talking about boost mode. So boost will be boost. The secret word or beast mode. I like everybody. Oh, it's beast mode. I'm like, it just increases frame rates, you know, a little bit. More stability. I don't know if I call that a boot.
Not quite beast mode, but
not quite the beast. But I do like that it loads textures quicker in some games. That's pretty nice. But like I said, it depends on which games are CPU and GPU dependent.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a little nice little added bonus. But all right. So yeah, secret word boost. And let's see. And like I said, that'll hopefully we'll start getting some more news, or maybe I'm trying to think what. We have, I guess I'll be talking about Sniper Elite next weekend. See how far I get in that when I try to play through fucking Super Stealthy. I'm hoping I can find someone to play with, because I definitely, that's a game I've always wanted to play co-op. Because it just seems like it'd be so fun, because that game is just fun to play. But yeah. All right, well, I guess I'll wrap it up, and we will, thank you, Zaya, for joining. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.
Bye!